तत्संग ब्रह्मिष्ठैश्वर्यम् संसारंतं कुभर्यवत् तद्गतिर् अबुदस्येह किमसत् कर्मभिर्भवेत्. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Haryas was understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has a polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive activities under such condition, what will be the benefit? Purport. Polluted intelligence has been compared to a prostitute. One who has not purified his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana, those who are actually serious are conducted by one kind of intelligence, namely intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Bahushaka Hinantasya Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. One who is not fixed in proper intelligence discovers many modes of life. Thus involved in material activities, he is exposed to the different modes of material nature and subjected to the varieties of so-called happiness and distress. If a man becomes the husband of a prostitute, he cannot be happy. And similarly, one who follows the dictation of material intelligence and material consciousness will never be happy. One must judicially understand the activities of material nature as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by nature. Although one follows the dictation of material nature, he happily thinks himself the master or husband of the material nature. Scientists, for example, try to be the masters of material nature life after life, not caring to understand the Supreme Person, under whose direction everything within the material world is moving. Trying to be the masters of the material nature, they are imitation gods who declare to the public that scientific advancement will one day be able to avoid the so-called control of God. In fact, however, the living being, unable to control the ruling of God, is forced to associate with the prostitute of polluted intelligence and accept various material bodies, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Purusha prakritistohi bhungte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasat yoni janmashu. The living entity in the material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with the material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not solve this real problem, what profit will he gain?
Indriyani paranyabhya indriyabhya paramanaha manasastu parabuddhe yo buddhe paratistaha.
So Gita explains the different levels of our existence. The soul is a real identification, and over the soul comes the false ego, than the intelligence and the mind. So Srila Prabhupada explains here that intelligent is compared to the wife and the husband is compared to the soul. So Vedic culture advises that the wife is chaste to the husband, and the intelligent should be chaste or should allow the soul to progress in its life. In fact, this intelligent, the execution of this intelligent towards the progress of life is a distinct factor which differentiates an animal and human being. Because when human beings feels that he is something great or different due to his intelligent factor, that's what is stated in the scriptures, that due to intelligent the human being can progress in spiritual life, or due to intelligent he can fall down as well. That's why this intelligent should be placed upon submissiveness as well as following the authority. Because basically, when a person is intelligent, he tends to become independent. If a student is studying very well in this college, getting very good marks, then he doesn't have the attitude of taking shelter. I should ask my friend, or I should go to the tuition class, take shelter of a teacher. He feels himself, I can do it myself. So he doesn't feel attitude of taking shelter, and second is also he doesn't feel the attitude of being humble. I can do it by my own power. I have intelligence, I can do. So the intelligence should be placed in between submissiveness and the spirit of taking shelter. If this is not there, the intelligence will be in a dangerous situation. So the submissiveness, how it comes, that even though I may be intelligent, but I should put myself as a fool number one in front of my spiritual master. In this way, intelligence is executed in a proper way. As well as, even though I am very intelligent, I can do things by my own intelligence, but nevertheless, I should take shelter of my superior authorities in spiritual life. It is a big challenge for the spiritual practitioner. Because everybody thinks that I can do with my intelligence. So that's why the problems faced in spiritual life, the temptations, it's actually in one sense, is a big kick on the face of the so-called intellectual sadhakas. That what is your intelligence? That you are baffled by each and every moment. So thus, if the intelligence is used properly, then in order to be in a productive situation, one has to be there in between shelter and submissiveness. So in this way, intelligence is an important factor, but it has to be handled. That's why those who are scholarly and those who are advanced in spiritual technical knowledge, they are taken care by the spiritual master in a very careful way. They have been spoken again and again the principle of humility. So many instances we see. However knowledge a person may have, however advanced he is in spiritual intelligence, but one has to be submissive and taking shelter. Plus a person may somehow or other convince himself that I should take shelter, but then because of his intellectual prowess, he may not be able to be patient. Because spiritual master tells, you do things like this,
So though he is very intelligent, though we may think that according to my intelligence I can do these things in a different way, more efficient way. But then still there is a challenge that no, I have to be somewhere or other, put aside my own intelligence and follow the spiritual master. And using how to follow the spiritual master is a real intelligence. So that need also another quality of patience. One has to be patient in order to follow the spiritual master's advice, and thus he will get the proper result. In this way, the intelligence used under the shelter of the spiritual master, intelligence used in a humble attitude following the spiritual master, is considered to be the chaste wife for the benefit of her own husband, the soul. But if it is not, if it is doing things on its own without following the spiritual master or the instruction, then that is been described in this verse like that of a prostitute. So Srila Prabhupada explains here in this verse, if one fully engages in the temporary fruitive activities and does not solve the real problem, what profit he will gain? We see again in the so-called advanced society that people are considering themselves more intelligent. Prabhupada speaks here about the scientists. They think they are very advanced in their knowledge, in their technological achievements. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains there are four things to be achieved. And according to the ordinary Vedic conclusion, they are dharma, artha, kama and moksha. According to the Vedic conclusions, these are the purusharthas. So to achieve the moksha, one is, before that one is having sense gratification. And how is getting sense gratification? By doing some, having some artha, economic development. And how is getting the artha? By practicing some dharma. So in order to enjoy sense gratification, the Manusmritis and ordinary Vedic scriptures, they suggest that first you perform dharma, perform some occupational duties. And with that dharma, by the honest labor of dharma, you will get some artha, get some money. And then when you get the artha, what is the next step? You have kama, sense gratification. Enjoy your senses. And then when you are frustrated with enjoying your senses, then the next step what you have is go to, first of all get out of this so called sense gratification. I am frustrated. Go to the liberation. This is a progressive way recommended for the human beings in ordinary way. So now the dharma has to be not that anything what they do, but it has to be, dharma means activities which are sanctioned by the scriptures. Honest occupational duties. So that dharma will give birth to artha, that is economic development. And then use that money or economic development for regulated sense gratification. But this is considered to be the ordinary sophisticated human civilization. It's not spiritual, but it's an ordinary human platform. But what is the difference between human and an animal? Human being has, if he want to enjoy sense gratification, he has to have a proper dharma. And then he has to get artha. And then one can get sense gratification. But if the human being doesn't follow dharma and artha and directly kama, that's what makes him like that enough animal. For animal to enjoy sense gratification, it does not necessary that the animal has to follow certain dharma and then get some artha, economic development, and then this will enjoy sense gratification. No. The animal directly goes into third step. It just cuts all the first two steps and goes directly to kama. might is right. Whether I have a qualification, whether I deserve it, but as soon as I see, I will enjoy it. Just do it. What is it means? That animalistic mentality. So the animal doesn't have to think that I have to perform some occupational duties, then I will get some lot of money, and then with that money, I will go to some nice gift shop, and you know, buy some Valentine card, or you know, some nice gift. Then I go behind my girlfriends, or I go to the nice bone shop and pay the money. Then I will enjoy, I lick the bone, I have my partner. No. Animal means that it doesn't have to follow any kinds of dharma, or doesn't even have to wait for the artha, directly engages in sense gratification. Well, that is what animalistic mentality means. That I don't bother whether I deserve or I can have it, but as soon as I see, I will do it. So the human beings who are supposed to be civilized, if they are also without having proper qualification, without proper honest way, if they are unregulated way, engaged in direct sense gratification, and they are nothing but an animal. So the modern civilization, here Prabhupada writes about the polluted intelligence, that intelligence is supposed to keep the human society in a proper civilized state, degrades them to that of an animal. And they think that we are free. We are engaging our senses in sophisticated sense gratification. Thus we are advancing. But this advancement is nothing but like that of an animal. That engaging in unregulated sense gratification. But another interesting thing, that okay, you are very intelligent, that you are not doing the first two steps, dharma and artha, directly you are going to the sense gratification. If it had been a very intelligent and smart way to do that, if it would have been, that is final goal. If karma or sense gratification would have been the final goal of life, then that would have been okay. If there is milk available readily, why to take care of the cow? Why to feed the grass to the cow? If there is a goal of keeping the cow, take the milk from the cow. Then that would have been a smart and very intelligent way of doing things. But the scripture says, unfortunately, for the so-called advanced human civilization, that karma or sense gratification is not the ultimate goal. What is the ultimate goal? Ultimate goal is moksha, or liberation. Being freed from sense gratification is the ultimate goal, not that enjoying the sense gratification. So, if a person is doing so-called sense gratification in a smarter way, and he thinks him to be intelligent, then he is missing the whole point. But Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't even bother about this animalistic mentality of the people. Bhagavatam in fact condemns, even if a person follows dharma and artha in a honest way according to scriptures, and then enjoys sense gratification, it condemns that also. Dharma projito vaita paramat kaitava paramatrodam satanam. It rejects even this particular regulated sense gratification. Why? Because you are following some dharma, and then you are getting some artha and enjoying karma, sense gratification. But in another sense, the animals, they are doing that without undergoing this hardest endeavor of dharma and artha. So, a person is working so hard in his school days, studying very, very hard, and then going through hardest exams, getting the degree and getting a job, having some money. And after doing all that, what is the purpose of that person's life? That I need to have a nice home, house, partner, and enjoy the life. So his goal of life is sense gratification. For that he is undergoing so much of hard struggle. But then animals are more smarter. Just like a person who works very hard, you know, gets a lot of money from the taking the loan and finally buys some car or a house. But another fellow is a thief. He just steals some car. So he raises his hand to this person. You work so hard and earning so much money, you buy the car. You say, I am very smart. He just waves the hand from his car. Say, I am very smart. So the animal is also waving their hand. Maybe the dog is waving its tail. You go to school, college, study so hard, pass the exam, and you know, get the degree, get a job, earn so much of money. And for what? Just so that I can have some nice partner. See my smartness. And the dog is waving its tail, you know, calling the man. You so much hard work you do for this. You see, I am very smart. I can go to the street anytime. I can pick up whoever I want. See, this Bhagavatam condemns that first of all, you are working so hard, doing so much endeavor for sense gratification, and you are surpassing all this dharma, artha, and directly enjoying sense gratification. That means you are nothing but an animal. See, in this sense, you are not sophisticated more than an animal. But even if a person, I should be a very righteous, moral person, I should follow scriptures nicely, I should be honest, I should follow dharma, honest, and is practicing dharma, pious life, and then through his piety is getting some artha, and then with the artha, he is getting, what is the goal of life? I just don't want to harm others, I want to be satisfied, I am a house, wife, children, want to enjoy some gratification. Then the Bhagavatam condemns dharma prajito kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam, that this particular dharma artha kama is nothing but waste of endeavor. Why? So after doing all these things, your ultimate goal, you are stopping at the sense gratification. That is what that the animals also do. After practicing dharma artha, having some particular artha, economic development, you are just want to do sense gratification. But the animals also do without all this hard endeavor. So a person become fool if he doesn't take to Krishna consciousness. If a person is a karmi materialistic, he is as good as that of an animal. But if a person is pious and following the scriptures but doesn't take to Krishna consciousness, he is also as good as of an animal, but a sophisticated shrama evaki kevalam. Shrama means hard endeavor, eva means certainly, he means only. Certainly, only with hard endeavor, he is fool number one. In this way, Srimad Bhagavatam rejects all the lower principles of life and establishes that one's ultimate goal of life is Krishna consciousness. And in this way, that intelligence, the person, the most valuable item of a human being, should not be used in an illegal way like that of an animal, or in a legal way like that of an animal as well. So what is the goal of life? Prema Pumartho Mahan. One has to use his intelligence in order to advance in spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada explains, the polluted intelligence has been compared to a prostitute. One who has not purified his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute. So intelligence is compared to the wife, and the soul is compared to the husband. The wife is supposed to serve the husband. In a spiritual term, the husband is also compared to spiritual master, guru. And the soul is the mind, the intelligence is compared to the disciple. So disciple, what is the only solution? Though we may discuss, though we may hear again and again, life should not be like that of an animal. One has to become sophisticated. But nevertheless, since the conditioned souls are born, have been in so many species of life since time immemorial, this has been engaged in these similar activities. So even we can be hearing this instruction, but it doesn't sink in so easily. Just like an animal, in the sabji market, sometimes the grand road and all we go, the cow or a goat, it comes to eat some leaves or some sabji in the market, and the shopkeeper, he would keep a stick and give a beating below its ear, and it get hurt and it go away, and within few seconds it will forget again, it keep coming running to the same place, and it get the beating, and again it would go, again it would come back. So our, at least myself, I am concerned that we keep forgetting these things. As soon as we see the sense object coming in front of us, again our propensities of animalistic propensity comes up, and you want to enjoy that. Again you get beating, we become frustrated, feel guilty. We are not happy after enjoying the sense gratification, either in a subtle way or gross way. But again, we forget that. In this way, the intelligence is like a prostitute. In spite of suffering and knowing, it doesn't come out of that entanglement. Once there was a king. He announced in his country that I have a goat with me. If anybody can feed this goat for his full satisfaction, I will give half of my country. So people thought if it had been an elephant, it's been a challenge, very difficult to feed the elephant. For goat, isn't it difficult? It's very simple. So you can feed the goat, and few leaves if you give, the goat will be satisfied, small stomach, small animal, and in return you'll get the whole kingdom. So many came. So they came, told the king that I would like to feed the goat first. There's a big queue. If somebody goes in the front, they will take the kingdom. So the big queue, the first person came, the king asked, are you confident? Will you be able to do that? He said, yes, I can do it. So he took the goat, and he's intelligent, he went to the forest. And whole day he was cutting different branches, chopping them off and giving to the goat, feeding the goat. From morning till evening, tirelessly he was working hard and feeding the goat. And goat is kept on eating. It ate so much, the stomach was becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And this person, he thought, is very intelligent. The goat is now satisfied. The belly is so big. Now, the king has to give me half the kingdom. So this man brought the goat back to the kingdom and went to the king's palace and told the king, my dear king, I have fed this goat completely. I don't think anybody can feed this goat more than this. The goat is full now. The king asked, are you sure? Yes, I am sure. Then king clapped his hand. His minister came. And the king told the minister, so he is saying the goat is completely fed. So you do the needful. The minister went out and brought a small branch of leaves, came to the goat and showed in front of the goat what the goat would do. Anytime, at any place, you show a branch of leaf, the goat would go and started eating that branch. And the king said to the farmer, that person, that you said you fed the goat, but still the goat is eating. Which means you are not satisfied with the goat completely. My promise is that anyone who feed the goat completely, for them I will give the kingdom, half of the kingdom. You get lost from here. In this way, many came, one after one after one after one. And they thought they are smart. Some of them fed so much of grains and water and what not, and took them to the forest. But all of them, as soon as came to the king calls the minister would come and show the branch, and the goat is ever ready. Sometimes we hear this statement, you are eating like a goat. Goat is always eats. So everybody was frustrated. They thought the goat is very easy, then the elephant. But then another intelligent person was there. So he came, he told the king that, my dear king, I am sure I will feed the goat to its complete satisfaction. And the king told that everybody is failed, you think he can be succeeded? The king told, why don't you try it? I am sure I'll do it. Then the king said yes. So this intelligent farmer, he took the goat not to the forest, not to the river bank, not to the fields, but he took the goat to his house. Now all the people are thinking, what is going to do with the goat in the house? We took the goat to the forest, but he's taking to the house. What is going to feed the goat? So he took the goat to the house and went inside a room and locked the room inside, keeping the goat in within him. And then in that room there was only one branch with the leaves, and within in his hand he also took a stick with him. So then the goat is very hungry in the morning, so the goat is expecting that as usual I would get a big feast. So as soon as the goat was hungry, the man took the branch and showed to the goat. As soon as the goat saw the green leaves, it so eagerly came to eat the leaves. But the farmer with another hand, he had a stick and gave a heavy beating below its chin. Thadak. So then the goat got, he thought it can eat the leaves, but it got a beating, it went away. And again he showed the branch of leaves, the goat came, again the same treatment, beating. So morning till evening, show the branch, as soon as the goat comes to eat, give a beating, show the branch. Since morning till evening he was doing the same thing again and again and again and again. By the time it was 6 o'clock in the evening, the goat understood that green leaves branch means what? Stick in the hand. And it was hungry all through, never eaten anything. It was very skinny. So the king took the goat back to the palace. And the king saw the belly is very small, it is very skinny, so tired. King asked, did you feed the goat? And the farmer was confident, yes, I fed the goat. You are sure? Then the king, as usual, called the minister. Minister, he said that he has fed the goat. Do the needful. And the minister, as usual, comes with a branch of leaves and showed to the goat. And the king thought, now he is going to be utterly frustrated. But then for the surprise of the king and the minister, the goat, as soon as saw the branch of leaves, it understood. From morning 6 o'clock till evening, what was the training? Branch with the leaf means thadak, beating below the ears. As soon as the goat saw the branch of the leaves, it started running from the place. And the farmer told, my dear king, I told you that I fed the goat, it cannot eat anything any further. It is already filled. The king was surprised, how did he do that? Of course he got the kingdom. But here is the story, is not for the children, but it's a lesson behind this. What is the lesson? The lesson is, the mind is like the goat. And the mind is like that of an animal. That however you feed, it is not going to be satisfied. The more one feeds the mind, the more it is going to be hankering for further sense gratification. What is the only solution for mind being satisfied? The mind to be controlled. The mind has to be controlled by the medicine of satisfaction. How the satisfaction comes? Satisfaction comes through renunciation and detachment. So, how the mind can be controlled? By the power of the intelligence. Intelligence is like that of a stick. The intelligence with the spiritual sword of knowledge has to beat the mind again and again. So even though our mind is like that of an animal, as well as we are gone through so much of animal species, we forget sense gratification is bad, enjoyment is bad, but even though we hear intellectually, it doesn't sink in. It has to be grilled in again and again and again. That's why the solution for the improper intelligence of the mind is that it has to be again and again being reminded of the real goal of life. So only solution the acharyas give for this polluted intelligence to be come to proper state of real intelligence is that it has to be free from doubts. The soul is like that of a husband and the intelligence is like that of a wife. If the wife is unchaste, if the intelligence is polluted, then the intelligence will further induce the senses to act immorally. And thus the soul or the husband falls down with that prostitute. So Prabhupada says, polluted intelligence is compared to the prostitute. The soul falls down into sense gratification to hellish life. So how this can be reversed back? If the intelligence is properly trained to understand the spiritual knowledge, with that intelligent spiritual knowledge, if the mind is controlled, then the senses will be engaged in Krishna service, the soul is going back to Godhead. But this is a scientific process. The ultimate solution, but instead of hearing all this philosophical understanding, it is not so easy. So the acharyas tells, the final weapon by which the mind and intelligence can be controlled is not even by the chanting of the holy name. It is not even by reading of the scripture. The final weapon by which intelligence's mind can be directed to the proper path is the instructions of the spiritual master. Prabhupada writes in Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, and this particular verse was a favorite verse of Srila Prabhupada. When he read this verse, Srila Prabhupada got inspired that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that one can advance in spiritual life if he takes the instruction of the spiritual master as one's heart and soul. This is the ultimate weapon by which the mind and intelligence can be brought back to its normal condition. Other than that, other things will follow after this. Instruction of spiritual master. And then if a person is faithfully following the instruction of the spiritual master, the intelligence is like a disciple or mind who follows the spiritual master, then it can be come to its proper situation. So, Vaishnava Acharyas, one of the Acharyas' name is Parivachan Pillai in Sri Sampradaya. We'll conclude with this. He gives a very interesting understanding of guru and disciple relations. He says that disciple is like intelligence and the soul is like a guru. So the disciple should follow the spiritual master at different degrees of following the spiritual master. First level is like a wife follows the husband. In the Vedic tradition, it is considered the wife follows the husband. So whatever husband tells, the wife follows. So this is the first level. Similarly, a disciple should follow the instruction of spiritual master. But still, this is an external personality, a secondary personality. Husband instructing the wife. But further than this is that the mind, the person instructing the mind, or the mind instructing the senses. Now the mind is convinced that I want to eat an ice cream. As soon as the mind says, the senses immediately walk. The senses follows the mind just like an obedient servant. Similarly, a disciple should follow the instruction of spiritual master like the different senses following the mind. So the mind and senses are even more closer. So husband and wife, then mind and the senses. But then, further than that, this Acharya says, but still the mind and senses are little far away. But the disciple should serve the spiritual master alike, because sometimes mind, we say absence of mind. Sometimes the mind is also not working properly. Sometimes we are unconscious. But The third level, he says, the disciple should follow the instruction of spiritual master like that of unconsciousness for the soul. The soul and consciousness are inseparable. Without consciousness, there is no question of existence of the soul. How the soul and consciousness are inseparable, they follow each other. Similarly, a disciple should serve the spiritual master's instruction like that of consciousness for the soul. What the spiritual master thinks, what his desire, that is the entire consciousness of the disciple. If a disciple follows in this way the spiritual master, then he is guaranteed that his spiritual perfection. Rather, that is indeed the spiritual perfection. The consciousness of this disciple is nothing but the desire and the goal of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada says that if anybody have the same desire, same intensity of pleasing the spiritual master and the previous acharyas, they will be also successful. Srila Prabhupada said, I was having this intense desire to please my spiritual master. Similarly, if all of you have the same intent desire to follow me, then your life will be perfected. So in this way, the prostitute of intelligence can be diverted, dulled in Krishna consciousness by following the instruction of the spiritual master. Hare Krishna, we'll stop here. If there is any corrections, comments, you can take it. How can one get artha from dharma? By performing, dharma means occupational duties. Performing occupational duties. A kshatriya's occupational duty is ruling the kingdom, so he is getting the tax from the people. A vaishya's occupational duty is performing farming, so he gets his wealth from that. In this way, dharma leads to artha. Yes, ma'am. This question is, in devotional service also dharma is there. Dharma is dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. There is sense gratification, that lobha harikata, that greed for hearing harikata. So is it moksha, liberation? What is that in spiritual life? So the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding is that moksham vishnu vangri labham. What is moksha? Moksha means Vishnu Angri Labham, attaining the lotus feet of the Lord Vishnu. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and when he read the verse Mukti Pade, he was not at all happy with that. She wanted to change it to Bhakti Pade. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, real Mukti, Muktir Hitva Anyatarupam Swarupene Vyavasthitaha. So Mahaprabhu said, no, Mukti is nothing but the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So in this way, liberation, real liberation is situated in the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. In this way, moksha is actually means devotional service. But nevertheless, in technical term, moksha is also means free from sufferings. So sashti, samipya, salokya, sayujya, all these liberations, especially sayujya, is rejected by the Vaishnavas. But even attaining these four Vaishnava liberation or spiritual liberation, sarupya, having the same form of the Lord, Samipya, staying close to the Lord, Salokya, staying in the same planet. But even if this desirable liberation is achieved, just so that I can be free from material entanglement, then that is also Diyamanam na grananti. Even if it is given to me, without your service, the devotees don't accept it. So in this way, liberation or moksha is within devotional service, if it is taken as service to Lord Krishna. But he rejected without that service. Hare Krishna. Anybody like to add something? We'll stop here. Vendra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.